Well, it is 1 o'clock, and I see that Karen is on. Karen, are there any, I don't know if I beat you to the punch. I can't recall what we said on the phone.
Yeah. Well, welcome everyone. Good to see you on this very hot day. I keep waiting for the next front to come through, but it looks like it'll be a while. So, today we have maybe a lighter agenda than normal, but in a way we always have a heavy agenda. So the thought today would be to kind of go around the room and get a feel for where everybody's at. I'm calling everybody, but we'd like to hear all the voices today. I guess from my desk, I'd just like to ask if there are anyone having any additional unemployment questions to email me. I'm not in the office, but I am watching my email. We have found a good solution, so if anyone is having trouble, I have a phone number to connect you to. So anyone on the call having problems right now? Hope not. I think there's money in the bank for, there's some people that have been waiting a long time, I know, and one of our colleagues, not on the call right now, just got paid today, so I'm very happy about that. Okay.
Thanks, Karen.
I guess I'll turn it back to you.
One of the things that is top of mind for me, Karen, and all of us is simply inviting everybody to take a moment, if you haven't yet, take more than a moment perhaps, and make sure that you're acquainted with the most recent update to our Safe Open plan for the fall. You will find that on the landing page of our website. And many in these calls, of course, are involved in the building of that document, but nonetheless, that's a really important one. Again, it is related. What I'm referring to now is the plan that is anticipating the fall. It is not our safe return to work plan, but it is the safe open for the fall. So just encourage people to be familiarizing yourselves with that plan. And of course, it's not in cement. Everything, there is nothing in cement, and it will be updated as we continue to move through the coming weeks. Does anybody have any initial questions or comments on that plan? You will see it in orange at the top of the landing page, an orange bar, and it simply says Safe Open Fall 2020 latest updates. So invite everyone to visit that and make sure you're familiar. Any comments about or questions about that, if you've had a chance already to take a look at it? Okay. I was gonna ask Cindy, if you would take just a few minutes. I don't want to assume that everybody fully understands your role, Cindy, as director of TRIO SSS, and I want to make sure everybody does, and I want to make sure that everybody understands right now that there is a critical, some critical days ahead for this really important program, and so I thought, if you wouldn't mind, could you just speak to that a bit?
Sure. You just made my anxiety go up when you just said that. So the reason I've survived for all these years in TRIO is I am a Pisces magical thinker, and I can put the fact that we're funded for 5-year cycles at a time out of my mind until it gets to the announcement this morning from our national TRIO organization, who is located right in Washington, D.C., that the Department of Ed has released the slate of programs who were successful in this the last round of grant applications to be funded for the next 5 years. But you can imagine, being as it's a government department, there is some red tape in just getting that slate out of the Department of Ed and the, where it goes is either to Stabenow or Peter's office, or both. 5 years ago, when we received the call that we were refunded, it came from Jerry Peter's office. So this announcement that we received this morning said in the next few days, going into a long holiday weekend, great, not, the notifications will start to go to successful grant applicants. So it's kind of, you know, we all have done job interviews at one point in time. It's literally like that. It's literally like that dead zone after you interview for a job that you really, really want and you're excited about, and you just have to sit and wait. There's just nothing you can do. So that's exactly where we're at. So this morning when that email came through, my anxiety level went sky high. So I'm like, okay, this is the time that now I need to think about it. We have no reason to believe that we don't have an extremely strong application. We are, like I said, we're funded for 5-year cycle. You can receive, it's crazy because it's 100-point grant application, 65-page document, very structured as to what they want you to address in that document. That's worth 100 points. If you receive 100 points, you will not be funded by the Department of Ed. That's how crazy it is. Then they do, they call them competitive priority points. So you have to choose two topics. They will give you areas that they want you to look at in your upcoming grant. You have to choose two topics and do two research documents in addition to that 65 pages. And honestly, at this moment, my head's spinning. I can't even tell you the two topics. But we got full points. It's worth 6 additional points. 5 years ago, we got 6 points for the 2 documents that we wrote. So it's really like writing 2 small graduate research papers in some area of student success or advising. So you have to get 100 points. You have to get a high percentage of those 6 points on top of the 100. And then where we really are sitting strongly, and it is because of a strong team in TRIO SSS and the strong support that we have on campus and how much we are a part of the fabric of what happens at Finlandia, and it really comes out in our grant application when you write it. You can earn up to an additional 15 points. So we're now at, 122 points that this 100 points competition is worth. For your students going from one grade level to the next, or your students staying in satisfactory academic progress and earning bachelor's degrees. So they look at those areas, and you can receive 5 points for each of those areas. We do a big report every December to the Department of Ed, where we have to literally give name. They don't do social security numbers anymore. It's unique IDs that's married to that student. We have to do a report every single December for all 5 years of the grant, saying what percentages we hit in those 3 areas, and we earn the full 15 points, which is awesome. So we have an additional 15 points. So ideally, I think last time out of the 122 points, we received 121, and it was silly. You have 3 readers. These go to the Department of Ed, and then they give them to readers. So you have, like, literally usually faculty members of institutions of higher ed across the country who don't really know anything about TRIO are reading these grant applications. Last time we had 1 point taken off because a reader thought that a 2.5 cumulative college GPA for our professional tutors that we hire in the TLC was too low. And they took a point off. That's how random and stressful it can be. So we're waiting. We got the word that the slate has been announced. It's going to go to the senator's office. I'll just keep checking my email and my email. My voicemails go right into my email. I'm grateful for that. So I can just check it on my phone nonstop all the time to wait for that call to come in from either Senator Stabenow or Senator Peters. It's about a $1.7 million award. It's for 5 years, and it's around $330,000 a year. Typically, we receive small increases, from whatever the last 5-year base was. When they refund, we get some small increases, which I had sent out in general, I think earlier this week, that Representative Bergman's office signed on for the next budget that Congress is going to work on for a robust increase in TRIO funding. And that's huge, and it's awesome, and that's why when we do the new 5-year cycle, we can get a small increase in our base funding because we have bipartisan support in Congress. And our national organization, which is called the Council for Opportunity in Education, is very active on the Hill, and they have many inroads on both sides of the aisle, and people who understand TRIO fully, and they understand college access and graduation for low-income first-generation, underrepresented students with disabilities. And just like they would vote for, you know, say an increase in Pell Grant, they see TRIO as the same and include TRIO in that. So there's a thing called a funding band, which is new since I came back. So I was in TRIO from, 87 to 2003 at Finlandia. I was the director of a talent search first. Then I became the director of Upward Bound. And then I left for 10 years to, quote unquote, raise kids for a while. And then in 2014, came back to be the director of TRIO SSF. Well, in that time I was gone, there's this new thing in the funding called the funding band. So they look at the scores, you know, the scores that are very high, and they're like, yep, these programs are funded. And they have a budget. You know, they can only spend so much money. They have a budget. So they say, here's the high scores, here's what's in the budget, here's the programs we know without a doubt are funded, which is the call that I'm waiting for. And then when the money starts to get tight, they put the next set of highest scores in what they call the funding band. And then they dig a little deeper to analyze those scores and those grant applications and the amount of money left in the budget. And then somewhere from 2 to 6 weeks from now, they'll then announce those grants that were taken out of the funding band and put into for sure funding. So it is a very high anxiety time for TRIO folks on campus. We have all three programs, Talent Search, Upward Bound, and Student Support Services. And like I said, we write every 5 years. So, you know, for sure, like in the 3 year period, we have one of our programs that's going through this, but we are in it right now. I remember clearly the day I was at a disability conference in St. Paul when the funding call came through last year, and the first person I called was Phil, because he's the sign off person on the grant application as a representative of Finlandia, and I was bawling in the hallway in St. Paul in the conference center going, we got funded. So I'm just waiting for that day soon, and you will see it on General. There'll be champagne corks popping and balloons on Workplace General when that call comes in.
Thank you, Cindy. Any questions or comments? I think the note that I sent to Cindy earlier this morning was that her good work has positioned us for success. And I am, like her, very confident that we're going to be funded. But anybody have any questions or comments related to Cindy's update?
Whatever your good juju omens are, whether you pray or carry rabbit's feet around or cross your fingers or look at the stars at night, we'll take it. We'll take all of it until you get that announcement, please.
Cindy, I'll echo Philip's comments as well. Is you have served your role beautifully over the past many years, and I have full confidence that it's going to be a positive outcome.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, we all, everybody in the room can appreciate the impact that TRIO SSS has on student success. And so it's great. Thank you, Cindy. I thought I might pop down, at least in my screen. April, you were with us last week, but didn't necessarily prompt you for any kind of update from Northwind Books. I see you're in the room with us, and anything that would be helpful and meaningful for us to know about your life and the bookstore.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I just actually got the phone connected. So I kind of missed that beginning part. Everything, you know, is as good as we can expect at this time, just reopening. We're starting to see some traffic through the store, so that's positive. Other than that, we're just kind of gung-ho getting ready for fall, as we know that is quickly approaching. We will be open tomorrow, 10 to 5, but we will be closed on Saturday for the holiday, and then we'll reopen again on Monday.
Thank you. Appreciate the good work. I plan to pop over after this conversation just to want to see you and but also to check things out.
Perfect.
So thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody have any questions or comments for April? All right. Thanks. You know, I'm noticing, Hillary, you're with us again, and I'm wondering, you mentioned last week briefly that we were able, through your good work and a historic relationship with Paloheimo Foundation, that even with the change in the Fellows Program, that you were able to reach out to these good folks, and they were very responsive to supporting us, even in an off year such as we're having. And you nodded to that last week, and maybe you've nodded to it before, but just for the room today, could you just talk a little bit about that generosity and how it bodes well for that relationship going forward?
Yeah, so the Paloheimo Foundation, which funds the Paloheimo Fellows Program and a lot of the Finney Studies initiatives and part of my job on campus, they've recently done some changes, and so we had a new computer-based programming system this year, which is fun to always learn. It's actually made the grant process a lot easier. So I sympathize with Cindy with her 84 million page grant application, because I'm like, well, mine is a lot easier. I feel so guilty. But what happened was the funding that we had been approved for this year that just ended, we obviously didn't go to Finland. And so, you know, when you get a grant, if you don't use the money, you return it. But both on our side of things, as well as on the side of the Paloheimo Foundations and the other foundations that this trust company that helps to manage Paloheimo funds, we're thinking is that perhaps during this COVID time when, you know, universities and other institutions are having such a difficult time, perhaps the funds that weren't spent in the areas that were intended could be spent in other ways that would help to benefit those institutions. And so we approached the Paloheimo Foundation at the same time that they approached us, and we're like, listen, and I mean, you know, we both laid out the same thing on the table, and so it was kind of a nice coincidence. But essentially, what they allowed us to do was use the funds for the 2019 to 2020 year for any essential COVID kind of emergencies that we're having. And so what we're applying the funds to is to help work with creating the health center. So I think that's really, you know, it's really exciting that we do get this autonomy during this year to be able to look at a crisis and to just handle it directly, and that the foundation's doing something that's, you know, still going to benefit our community in a very kind of tangible and, I would say, life-saving way. So I don't know if there's anything else you want me to say about that. I know that the check is in the mail somewhere, so it's going to be here in the next couple of days. but, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to acknowledge the work you did on our behalf to represent the need and move that forward successfully. And Paloheimo, they have, over the years, supported us well north of $1 million. And so this is a very important and historic relationship. And Hillary is the lead these days to steward that relationship in ways that benefit our students and especially our Finnish expression on campus. So thanks for that, Hillary.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Curtis, you're right dead center in my screen. So I figured, why not? What's top of mind for you as it relates to athletics?
You know, the big thing is just juggling the ever-changing world of college athletics right now. As it seems like almost daily, you know, new schools are not making announcements that maybe they're not having fall sports or that type of thing. And, just keeping up on that and the adjustments that each of our conferences are making to make sure that we have a season, or like I said, in the case of like our football conference, they've adjusted their football schedule to just a conference schedule only, no non-conference games involved. So just keeping up with all those adjustments right now is the big thing, and trying to make sure that we can do things and keep moving forward to having sports here in the fall.
Yeah, thank you. It is one of the things that I have shared with Curtis earlier this week as we continue to kind of expand, you know, this season of 1,000 scenarios, is to, we will dedicate time next Tuesday at management team to review scenarios within athletics that represent various places along the spectrum in terms of NCAA activities and seasons and so forth. So I really appreciate Curtis's leadership with that. It's a complication. It's an opportunity. But all of us, I think, in the room can understand that when you commit yourself to safe, you know, to living in a safe living and learning environment, and we are figuring out how to do that when our students are actively traveling away from campus. So we're thinking very carefully about that and making sure that we have thought as thoroughly as possible what are the protocols and practices that we can put in place, and what is that particular threshold at which we believe we can exercise these protocols and still satisfy the commitments we've made to the entire campus related to safe living and learning for the fall. So it's thank you, Curtis, for your diligence and vigilance and trying to just stay on top of movement. Certainly, I really encourage those who are in the room to, to visit sites, higher education sites. Inside Higher Ed is a really easy place to go to. Academic Impressions is one of my favorites. It's most comprehensive, I think, but Academic Impressions comes out weekly. It's not daily like Inside Higher Ed. But those resources, and they just give you links, and so you can just scroll through and find those links that are most interesting and most relevant for you. But I think it's you know, our way of being accountable to one another and to our students to be intentional about our reading these weeks and what institutions of higher ed are doing around the country. And I know that many of us, because we have certain formal roles that require us to do that, even those of us in the room that have less formal roles related to those types of things, I encourage all of us to be engaging in that literature. This is what we this is what we can do for one another and for our students. So thanks for that, Curtis. Appreciate it. Freddie, you're right next to Curtis in my window, so updates from the academic side of the house.
Okay, well, we continue to keep monitoring the situation in higher ed in direct relationship to our plans for a safe fall, open for fall to fall, face-to-face, I'm sorry, in the fall. Again, I'll echo what Curtis had to say. It can be fluid, but right now we're still on track for our safe, open, face-to-face plans. Lots of questions keep coming up, so we have to keep jumping those hurdles as every question comes up. What I've been focused on today, however, is the health clinic. So we had members of Upper Great Lakes here on campus toward two of the spaces that we're looking at, and I think we narrowed it down to the number one spot, so it looks like it's going to go into where we currently have the simulation lab for nursing, which is N14A. The PTA lab is just a little bit too much space, so Cindy, you and I can continue our conversation on your wish list for that space. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, and then Cindy, Blake, and I took a stroll over to the College of Health Sciences and looked at all the equipment. Essentially, we have an awful lot of equipment already for that space. The UGL will supplement that. So we have lots of things that are continuing to develop and evolve there. And we have a phone conference with the higher-ups over at the Upper Great Lakes at 4 o'clock today. So that's been my big project, is we want to see that get off the ground. And of course, the one question that came up today is, so what happens if we have to pull that lever and we're virtual in the fall? What happens to the clinic? As far as I'm concerned, it'll just be delayed, but it's still going into place. Because we know we have nobody on campus, there wouldn't be anybody to serve. But we're still planning and we'll have it all set. So as people are on campus, it'll be here. I can't think of anything else. Except I never thought I'd say, it's too humid. So I hope all you guys are all staying cool and staying safe.
It's wonderfully warm, just wonderfully warm. I'm so grateful for the heat.
We will all remember this in February. That's what I keep telling myself. And come February, I'm going to say, yeah.
Wonderful. So any questions or comments for either Curtis or Freddie related to their updates and things that they have offered? Wow. I should count to 10. I don't know. Was that 10? Was that a 10 count pause there or not?
Uh-huh.
Give everybody opportunity. I want to recognize last week, Mike, our colleague, Michael, had asked, you know, that we'd be able to provide in this conversation broad outlines for how Finlandia is going to prepare for what Freddie just mentioned, and that is if a set of circumstances should present itself and at the 11th hour or whatever that hour might be, we are forced for whatever reason to open online, that we will certainly know what the path forward is. And so I just wanted to recognize that, and we can't address that yet today. It's a scenario that is not fully built, but it is one that we talk about almost weekly at some level. So stay tuned for that. And while I remember it, July 8th, so that's next Wednesday, I believe, we'll be having a summer full board meeting via Zoom. And so I know that deliberations and decisions made at that meeting will provide some really helpful updates for our conversation a week from today. So encourage everyone to be back. But I wanted to mention that we will be having those conversations with trustees. On the agenda, of course, will be the very things that we are talking about. We will be reviewing the fiscal year-end preliminary convictions, results. We will certainly be looking at the budget that we are building that will require significant reductions that we have talked about beginning back in March and April, a 20% scenario. That can recognize no additional revenue for this coming year. I can tell you that we've done four rounds in that exercise. It's a difficult exercise, and certainly we will begin to talk together about that particular plan following the July 8th board meeting. So I just want to make sure that people knew about that upcoming board meeting. Did I hear Gary? I see Albert's with us. Cyril is with us from the business office. Gary, did you have any other? And maybe you could speak better to fiscal year end. So that was yesterday. No, that was 2 days ago. That was Tuesday, right?
That's old news.
It is. Move on to the new. We are in day two of the new fiscal year. What updates do you have for day two?
Well, day two of the new fiscal year, and we're off to a strong start. So 363 to go, and we'll have a successful year.
Thank you. Anything good else?
Good news, I think, that everybody will appreciate on the practical side of our safe opening. We are placing today significant purchase orders for all of the cleaning supplies, disinfecting supplies, personal protective equipment, all the things that we want for safe buildings, safe dormitories, safe open. Most of those supplies are now available, so we don't anticipate any late deliveries or back orders. So, you know, we continue to execute the practical points of the plan.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions or comments for Gary? So Albert, we see your face today.
And yep.
You'll have to forgive me, Albert. Were you on some weeks ago and I just missed you? That's usually what's going on, but just always wanting to make sure if this is one of the first times that you are with us as a new colleague, that we recognize you, that we welcome you. Why don't you do that now? Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you matter to Finlandia and all of us.
All right. Hi, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Albert. I am recently graduated. I graduated this spring. I've been spending the last few months working in the business office as a work study, and recently signed on to be here as a part of the team. And for me, it was really a huge honor and to be able to kind of give back what the university gave me, and now I can try and pay back everything it's done for me to help me grow. So I'm really hoping that with Gary, Cyril, myself, and everyone else, that we can help the university as a whole grow from behind the scenes and make everything come out really well for everyone and help keep pushing the university to move forward. So, but I'm originally from Rapid City, which is where I am right now, helping my dad with his accounts for the holidays. That's how I'm spending my holidays. I'm spending my 4th of July downstate helping do reconciling. So.
Well, I guess we'll share you.
it's probably going to be very brief. If I do anything else like that, it'll only be during the holidays. So
it's great that you can be with family. That's great. Wonderful. Well, welcome, Albert. It's good to have you a part of the business office and a part of our team. We look forward to working with you. We look forward to just getting to know you as a colleague. And
thank you.
And one of our co-professionals. So,
yeah, really.
All right.
You're welcome.
Enjoy. Michael, I see that you have joined us. I had made a nod earlier. Maybe you were in the room or maybe not. Picking up on your question to make sure that we are getting to a point where we can share with the room greater detail about how we plan, how we see Finlandia absorbing something other than an in-person fall enrollment, and just indicated to the room. Were you in the room, Michael? I didn't see you at the time.
No, I wasn't.
Okay. So just indicating, Michael, that we, following a board meeting on July 8th, there will be some deliberation and decisions at that point that will allow us to talk a little bit more detail about that type of scenario. So please stay tuned and keep coming back each week, and we'll make sure that we provide that. But I just wanted to acknowledge that last week you had asked for that, and that it's certainly top of mind for us. And
okay.
So. All right, thank you. I know that we heard about the Wellness Center and so forth. I do know that Mark Mirren, our colleague, nursing faculty colleague, is also heading up as a kind of a subcommittee on the Safe Open Task Force. Mark, I don't know if there was anything today that you bring that would be helpful.
The meeting weekly with health department and tech and all the most of the healthcare providers in the Western UP. And this is very much an ongoing changing dynamic that's occurring. There's a lot, a pretty sizable increase in testing that's been occurring in the Western UP. A couple of weeks ago, the struggle or the what we viewed as the limit was the providers and their capability to physically collect the samples. This week's talk was about backups in all of the labs that are available to us up to the level of the state lab, because testing has been increasing all across the state. So we are trying to find solutions, I guess, to these problems as we go along. The problems keep changing. We keep looking for solutions. But the conversation is ongoing.
So, Mark, you were saying that your weekly meetings are with our colleagues at Michigan Tech, with Western UP Health. Are those the two primary conversation partners, or were there others you mentioned?
Upper Great Lakes is really involved, and then we have Copper Country Mental Health. So, you know, pretty much all of the healthcare providers in the Western UP tend to be in those meetings.
Well, we're really glad that you're in those conversations on our behalf. And anybody have any thoughts or questions for Mark related to his involvement with those folks and the work he's doing for us? All right. Okay. Did I see Anthony in the room? I wasn't sure if Anthony would be able to join us because he is taking a bereavement. It is something he has shared publicly, but he has lost his grandfather and so is with his family currently. So I must have seen a different, I think I saw initials AS, and maybe I thought that could have been him. And I'm looking for Jason. I don't think that Jason is available today. I know that, Freddie, you oftentimes know you know a lot of what's going on in the registrar's office, but Jason Sullivan serves as registrar. Is there any update from the registrar's office that you might have, Freddie?
Just a couple of small things. One, if anybody, especially advisors, have any of your graduates wanting to know where their regalia is, it's unwrapped. So the boxes, we have April Stevens to thank wholeheartedly for finding a box that actually has Finlandia on the outside. So it's a mailing box. It's very tastefully done. It's gorgeous. So when they get it, they know it's coming from us with all of their stuff in it. Their castor gowns, their tassels, their diploma in the diploma cover, a transcript. Let's see what else is in there. An invitation to attend next year's graduation, or anyone thereafter. And then if they had any regalia from the honors banquet that wasn't able to go in the mail. So we sent the honors certificates to people, but we didn't put the sample pins in there because we put them in flat envelopes. So the sample pins with a description and a welcome to the Sampo Society also went in the graduation box. So they're going to have a wonderful opportunity to actually have in their hands everything that they would have had on commencement day.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have the Alpha Lambda Delta medals for our students who graduated that were in Alpha Lambda Delta at my office. And so I just need to coordinate with April or about getting those.
Yeah, a lot of those boxes went out. So coordinate with Jason Sullivan.
Okay.
Because if there's anybody who may not have officially been cleared, their box is still sitting in our office.
Okay. And then I guess just send out the other ones?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to have to do. I did not realize that you had those.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Oh, well, we'll get it. They'll get them. Let's see, what else is there? Okay, registration for fall is coming along. Because of everybody's schedules, we're a little behind the process schedule, but files are being processed by Jason, and the schedules will be done by the deans and or advisors. So we have a slew of them coming through. Kelly up in admissions is feverishly getting through them, shipping them all down to Jason so that the processing chain, as it were, is in full swing right now. So we'll have a better handle in a week or so about how our numbers are looking, but we do know that there's quite a few coming through. And so we're optimistic that we'll hit our, not our 555, but our, what was the last one, 460, thereabouts?
So we will update those numbers, yes. Yeah, so the
as we get a better handle.
Yeah,
but our retention number looks like we're going to be right about there. We're going to be maybe within one or two. Our new student numbers, we're looking like we're pretty much going to hit that goal too. I mean, everything is just day by day, but it's looking good. So everybody's just feverishly trying to get all the new students processed. And chasing down. So if there are any advisors on here, if you see an email come through from Aaron, from Veronica, from Cindy Cowell, from Jason, from me, about where is this student, it's because we're trying to find a returner who might be MIA. So we'll be rounding up all the support that we can to get these kids to come on back.
Thank you, Freddie. Cindy?
Can I ask you a question, Freddie? I looked one time online and I never went back. Are the recipients from the spring honors convocation listed somewhere, announced somewhere?
I believe the honors list went out, but I haven't gone onto the website to see exactly if they're up. But I do know that the press release went out.
I'm also thinking of like the sample society students and the Seton Award students and those types of awards.
I'll have to follow up on that. I don't know.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question, Cindy. Thank you for,
I'll check as well.
Thanks,
Cindy. All right, it's Karen and Cindy. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to give you, Kelly, an opportunity to share with us, Kelly Dulcet. Kelly, who serves as the hub of admissions. You know, we use these first names as if everybody always knows everybody. Though we be small, that's not always good to assume. So Kelly functions as the coordinator of all things admissions. So Kelly, any helpful and good word for you in terms of update this week?
We still had a couple strong days with new apps coming in that seem really great prospects. So I was glad to see that because generally this time of year, it comes to a halt and it just slows down. But we've been, 7 to 10 apps a day. So it's kind of nice to see.
And again, these are applications that are applications for fall 20.
For fall 20, yes.
So we have a particular streamlined, targeted, dedicated strategy to make sure that we treat these new apps with tons of attention. History would teach us that. Even though late cycle applications perhaps have other dynamics that we need to be considering, the one thing we do know is that late cycle apps also tend to convert at a higher level, at a higher rate.
And, right.
So these are really important folks.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the room, when you did your undergraduates, when you did your college experience, wave if you were one of those folks that showed up at the last minute. Anybody that showed up at the last minute? Good that you did, Kelly, so you can identify.
I was the last minute. I only went for an associate's, but it was the last minute decision.
Well, there's a lot of good folks who will make decisions later on in the cycle, and I think we've all talked about this too many times, so I don't need to babble, but we know that the current situation with COVID-19 is also delaying decision with families. So thank you, Kelly. Any comments or thoughts, questions for Kelly? Thanks. Just for anybody else in admissions that is in the room and just have a story to tell or a comment about what you are seeing and convictions that you are holding for this particular week.
A lot of kids are undecided right now. That's sort of just hanging in the air. I've got quite a list of kids who are just at that deposit point and just don't know what their plans are yet.
Yeah. And are they able to, do they say more, Jenny, about, obviously it's COVID related stuff. Are there any things that you believe are within our sphere of influence, within our control to do something about that we're not currently?
Actually, I think we've been doing a really good job. I know that the management team is, and Sandy's made some decisions to, you know, release some more funds for scholarships and things, and that I think that's really going to help once these kids are, you know, fully ready to decide, but I think they're just scared. They just don't know and can't make that decision yet. So I think just until we know a little bit more, I think that's where we're going to be for some of these kids.
Yeah, thank you. So one of the decisions that we have made is we know that given our current circumstances, new student recruitment is when we talk about discounting, institutional discounting, that's just simply language we use to talk about how much we are able to commit to financial aid, to scholarships. And what I'm convinced of, and the rest of my team, certainly Anthony, is that that these late cycle students or the students that we receive from this point forward are going to cost more. And by that, I simply mean that we need to be willing to invest. And it's not just those that are applying now, but it's those that are deciding now. Maybe they had applied previously, but haven't made a decision. We know that our discount commitment, that our financial aid commitments need to be adjusted so that we can be competitive, because everybody is doing that to some degree or another. Discount rates, the amount that institutions are willing to pay for any given student through scholarships, grants, whatever the case might be, that is certainly going to be on the rise for this fall's cohort across the country. So anyway, that's our commitment. That's what Jenny is referring to. We're going to continue to monitor that. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we are preserving what we call net tuition revenue, average net tuition revenue per student. So it's not the same for every student. And we just have to look at all of them and say, what can we afford, and not begin to erode in ways that are detrimental that particular revenue, net revenue increase, the cost of instruction, and what they're paying us to be instructed. We're watching that as closely as we can.
On this note, maybe of interest, some of you may have already seen this, and I hope I'll send this on to Anthony, but it looks like within this week, Bard College in New York just launched something they're calling the Bard Baccalaureate Program. Which would be on-campus classes, but non-residential experience targeted specifically at students age 26 and up, so non-traditional students. They're pitching it as, in light of the COVID crisis, maybe you've had a job loss, you're wondering what you're going to do. I think between the lines, it screams, please come here and bring your Pell Grant. But it seems like a pretty smart kind of marketing move, as well as commitment to the community, to sort of make this kind of launch and say, hey, we've got a place for non-traditional age students here, and that seems like something that would really be within our wheelhouse as well. Kind of food for thought, thinking about a last-minute marketing push for people who are not traditional age but may nonetheless be at loose ends this coming fall.
Oh, Carolyn, thank you. And just to piggyback on that, I think, and maybe we could spend a few minutes. So Carolyn, please do send that to Anthony. But also, is there anybody else in the room that has, we don't have to share them all, but you can certainly send, forward links and so forth to Anthony and to anybody on my team. But has anybody heard anything like that, that Carolyn shares? Any other innovative pieces? We are all very much trying to read these things and beg, borrow, and steal. Everybody's doing it. What are those ideas out there that have application for us, for our students, for our market, that perhaps we have not considered thoroughly enough? So anybody else have something similar or like what Carolyn is sharing? You've seen other institutions announce that you think might have application for us? We certainly are looking at those daily, but there's lots out there, and I know that we miss some of them. Anybody else?
I don't know of any other institution, but I just have to say that during our team building day that we had not too long ago with the admissions, I did bring that up, that we need to market our programs to local people like myself, in my situation, that maybe build them a pathway to be able to obtain a bachelor degree if we need to. I think there's a lot of opportunity there in this area.
Thanks, Kelly. So this does dovetail with conversations that we had on my team last Tuesday, that Freddie, we were just talking about, so our bachelor curriculum and making it available in an online format, because we have the delivery system and we have the courses designed. So what we will do, this is my commitment, is that when we gather as my team next Tuesday, we will pick up this particular example and look at it and see what could apply. And perhaps, Freddie, with your help, we could make sure that well, Olivia would be with us because we would have MT Plus next week. Right. So from a communications perspective, build a campaign that if we can figure out a particular way forward that's Finlandia-esque and could move the needle. It's all about moving the needle. Freddie, you had a thought?
Just not that it's set in stone yet, but we are in conversations with the Council of Independent Colleges, CIC. We are also with Yes We Must, the consortium of small, high Pell eligible population schools. These are two entities that we have been part of for years. There is now a course sharing opportunity that has become much more amenable and suitable for us, similar to what we went into with Lumerit. So for those of you who remember the Learning Solutions Lumerit initiative that we were trying to go, that we were part of for a short period of time until they are no more. Anyway, this provides us an opportunity to actually expand our offerings through other accredited private higher ed institutions. So in other words, if let's say St. Norbert has a course similar to ours and they have free seats, they have open seats, they'll put them in this consortium. And if we have a student who needs that course that's not offered that summer or that semester, they can actually enroll there and take that course as ours, because our faculty would be the ones that will actually take a look at the courses and go, yeah, that abnormal psych's just like our abnormal psych, so yeah, we'd accept it. So it would become another option for our course catalog. The difference between Learning Solutions and this consortium is that these are actually offered through like schools. So it's the other ones were prepackaged courses. These are established courses. And if we ever want to become a host institution, or what's called a teaching institution, we can actually sell our empty seats through this consortium and invite students from St. Norbert's or any other institution that's part of this consortium in to take our courses. And it helps us fill our seats. These are other opportunities to work together in the age of everybody fighting for the same students.
Yes.
That would help expand, as you said, our online offering.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Who has some other updates? Is Bill Knobloch in the room? And if so, Bill, any updates from you? You're normally good for an update.
It is warm out, and I'm struggling with that. We did successfully get rid of all those TVs, and I contacted Gary on that, used the Thrive-In financial grant to pay for the bulk of it, and we're now in the process of finding new homes and repurposing television carts for art departments and other places on campus. But besides that, I don't have a lot of updates regarding the campus, except that it is quite hot.
Thank you. I have a fan for you. I have a couple of extra here at Hoover, and you would be welcome to one of them.
I'll take them.
As long as you don't send it off campus somewhere, because you're good at getting rid of stuff. I would like, Brandon, are you available for an update? Brandon Bell, our Director of Campus Safety and Security.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Fine. Thank you.
I don't have too much to add, except with the nice weather that we've been having, the public is kind of out and about, and as a result of that, you know, they want to come in and see the campus and have unexpectedly walked in on places, so I would just ask that everyone keep the outer doors locked. That way we don't have, you know, people randomly popping into offices and things like that, so we can avoid any future situations. I've put some signs down on Hoover and Old Main, so those seem to be the ones that are attracting the people right now. Just saying that, you know, Finlandia is closed to the public, but we'll see if that works.
Thank you for doing that, Brandon. It's helpful. Those of us down on the bottom of the hill, we tend to get the eyes more than those that are further up the hill. So it's especially helpful. People are curious, and of course they're coming from a good place, and our particular protocols simply don't allow folks to just walk into buildings right now. That day will return, but it's not yet. Thanks for that, Brandon. Any questions or comments for Brandon? Okay. Anybody else who has brought a helpful update for the conversation today?
Can I add one more thing, please?
Sure.
You know, I was just really happy to see that Thomas, the new esports director, has laid out sort of schematics on the floor in Mannerheim Central. It's just a nice visual reminder that progress is being made. It's really nice to see.
Yeah, thank you. Progress is being made. Curtis can speak to that better than I can, but that program is going forward. The construction, the renovation all those things are moving forward. So, yeah, there's a reason you're seeing tape on the floor and all that stuff, though. Curtis, I don't know if you have any additional things you could say about that.
Not much. Like you said, I mean, progress is, you're going to see a lot more happening here in the coming weeks. You know, like I said, Thomas and I went in there earlier this week, kind of laid things out with the tape, just kind of give, you know, it's a little more visual so that gives an idea what's going to be able to fit where. We just wanted to make sure before we started ordering, you know, desks and so forth, so we can make sure everything's going to fit properly. So, so if anybody's curious what it does look like, they can stop in there, if they're on campus.
And if they, they have a key.
Yeah.
And of course the arena is part of a larger project, and that's the student lounge, the student of Mannerheim Central. And Aaron and Gary are working on that order for the furniture. It's what do I know? But I really like the style of the furniture, the design of the room. I think it's going to be very, very attractive for our students. It's a space that this campus has needed for a long time. So I know that Aaron next week most likely can give us an update on what that lounge is going to look like, what the furniture is going to look like, and so forth. So that's very exciting for us. I think it, and of course we're going to send that stuff out to our new and returning students as soon as we can, because I think that our returning students especially will enjoy seeing that. Okay, we are over our time. Anybody else bring something to the room that you really wanted to share? Okay, well listen, have a great 4th of July. Oh, hey Carolyn. So have a great 4th of July weekend, holiday, be well, be safe, be smart, be mindful of the neighbor, even as you seek to keep yourself safe. Remember the other, that's what it's about as well. So good to be with you, and be back together next Thursday. Bye-bye now.